Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders. They have wonderful stories to share, and they are really excited to share their journeys, their stories, their business tips, wisdom, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, and has also been mentioned on Entrepreneur.com and in MSNBC. And our topic today is an important one, stay in the miracle. Antoine Jana knows that you can change what you value, who you are, what you want, and how you get it. He has proven it to himself and to the world. Antar is a number one international best-selling author, a success trainer, an entrepreneur, life coach, and mentor, as well as the founder of Stay in the Miracle Institute. But before that, he had his own troubles and big troubles that landed him in prison, and he was addicted to drugs and alcohol. But while he was in prison, he turned his life around, and he now shares how he changed his life with people all around the country. Now, he went from socially illiterate to an author and has spent the last 35 years traveling all over the United States, sharing his message and his formula for not just material success, but success in every aspect of life. Good morning, Antar, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. You have a great story. I cannot wait to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show. Really appreciate it.
Well, you know, we talked some months ago, and, you know, we've been kind of just waiting for this day, so here we are. But before I get moving, can you tell our audience a bit more about yourself? Because that's quite a lead-in. You went from, you know, prison to writing a book. I mean, that's important. And, you know, if you could tell people a bit more about yourself before I start peppering you with questions, that would be great.
Well, I started out, my mother and father were in San Francisco, California when I was born, and they divorced when I was about 3 years old. My mother moved down on the peninsula, down in Menlo Park area, and my father stayed in San Francisco. So I was back and forth in between those two households. And I had a very, very good upbringing in Menlo Park, schools, home, everything was good. So my troubles it wasn't about my home. It was about my peers. I had gravitated toward the wrong people. And I ended up rebelling. It was the 60s, you know. I grew up in the 60s. So if anybody knows anything about the 60s, that everybody was traumatized, whether they want to admit it or not, they were traumatized in the 60s. They brought a television in our elementary school room one day and said, you know, the president's been shot and killed.
Right.
And
John Kennedy,
that.
Right.
Yeah, we witnessed Martin Luther King's his death, Malcolm X, make a record. I mean, people were coming back in body bags from Vietnam, constantly from in our community. It was just a lot of riots, a lot of turmoil. That's the hippie movement and the drugs and everything was going on in that particular time. And Muhammad Ali, and it was just so much happening. And so I became a rebel, and I did start using drugs and alcohol, and got with the wrong group. There was a gentleman in my area who was a very famous drug dealer, and I was very good friends with his children. And so I gravitated toward
his
that
children?
Family. Yeah, he has children
oh
who are drug dealers,
my.
Too. He owned an apartment building, and they stayed in that apartment building, and I ended up moving in that apartment building.
Ah.
And so I was in the middle of it, and I was a part of that particular crime family. And so I got involved in drug dealing and robberies and burglaries and just crime. I felt that I was ambitious. I was ambitious. I was always an entrepreneur. I felt that I could be successful in crime. And of course, that was a fallacy. That there's no way you do that. But I thought that my adolescent mind. I thought that. And I looked at him and I saw him as a very successful person, money, I mean, all the trappings and everything he had. And so I was involved in, like I said, robberies, drug dealing. And I was using drugs and alcohol. I ended up getting arrested for bank robbery when I was 20 years old. And I was sentenced to a 6-year youth act because I wasn't 21. And I went to Lompoc Federal Prison. When I had my 21st birthday in Lompoc Federal Prison, when I got to prison, I didn't change. I didn't change at all. I was the same person I was when I was on the street. I was a criminal. I was criminally minded, and still doing the same things. I mean, what people don't understand about prison, the same things that go on the street go on in prison. I mean, there's drugs in prison. There's everything there. So I was the same person. I got with a group of people from the Bay Area, San Francisco area, and we hung together. And, I was just doing my thing. And a counselor, he was like, this is my angel. I don't remember his name or face, but he called me to his office, and he gave me a book called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And asked me to read it. And I took it back to my cell and I read it that night. It's a small book. It was about maybe 50 pages, something like that. And not only
Never
did I read it.
I think everybody should read it, truly.
Yeah, everybody should read that book. Not only did I read it, I wrote it down in a tablet because I thought I had to give him the book back and I wanted to keep it because I was just fell in love with his knowledge. And I took him the book back. He said, no, you keep it. And he gave me Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And so I read that.
Mm-hmm.
I took those two books in my library. Yeah. I took those two books and I read them over and over and over and over until I really understood the language. And it transformed me. It changed me. I started getting in contact with my intuitive self, with my higher consciousness. And I stopped smoking marijuana. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I still was hanging with the same crowd, but I had a book in my hand. I was always reading, and they accepted me, with my new intellectual change that I was going through. And one night I was writing a poem, and I was writing it to somebody, and I was scolding them for they weren't doing what I thought they should be doing. And I titled the poem, I Am You. And I read the poem the next day, and I realized that I wasn't writing a poem to someone else. It was my higher consciousness talking to me. And it was introducing itself to me. I am you. And from that point on, I have been following that consciousness. I have been following that mentality. And that has been my GPS. That has been my guidance, which led me out of prison, led me into a world of success and entrepreneurship, and never went back, never got involved in crime again. It became a writer and author. But it was really me coming in contact with my higher consciousness. That's why I wrote the book, The Secret of the Infinite Intelligence, trying to help other people get in contact with that GPS.
And, it's available to all of us. I'm a firm believer in listening to your intuition and listening to that higher guidance. I do a lot of it. Right now I'm listening to an Audible book by Carolyn Mace. I mean, she has some amazing information, but anytime you can find a way to better your situation or better your thinking processes, why would you turn away from that? Yet people do. And I'm not quite sure I understand why they do, but it's I'm not going to say it's common, but it happens.
Yeah, it's I think they turn away because some people want, like immediate gratification. And they think they can wish for something or hope for something, and they're going to get it. I think the law of attraction of the book, The Secret, kind of threw certain people off. They thought, well, if I get me a dream board and I think about these things all the time, that these things are going to come to me. But they fail to realize that you have to be doing something.
You have to take action.
You can want it real bad,
but you have to move towards it.
Right. What are you doing? What is your vehicle that you're going to use? Because when you start to focus and visualize what you want, and your subconscious mind starts to accept that, and it starts to bring ideas to you, and it brings people to you, and brings resources to you, you have to have a vehicle or an entrepreneurial vehicle that's in place that's going to take you the rest of the way.
Exactly. You know, when I first started noticing this, because, you know, I watched all of that, and, you know, I do like the whole law of attraction premise, but, you know, like we just commented, without taking positive and pivotal action, it's just daydreams. You're not really going to move yourself forward. But I want to ask you if this happened to you, because we're all busy people, and that was always my excuse. Oh, I'm just, you know, busy. I'm building this business, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And I realized rather belatedly that, you know, my intuition was guiding me. People were dropping into my path and say, oh, my gosh, Denise, that's great. And I would go, oh, yeah, thanks, and then just keep on moving. And I wasn't taking action. And, well, I could smack myself in, you know, the gib slap in CIS. I could gib slap myself every now and then for not going, Denise, really? I mean, your guidance was there. Somebody was offering to help. They were giving you ideas, and you just, cool, thanks. And forgot all about it. I'm ashamed to admit how many times that's happened to me. Truly ashamed.
Yeah.
But
me too.
I am now paying attention, and it doesn't happen anymore. I write it down, and I circle back around to it. Yeah, I mean, but I think we're all, yeah, I think that happens to a lot of us before all of a sudden we go, you know, there's red arrows in the air overhead going, pay attention. And sometimes you just have to kind of wake up, don't you?
Yeah, you have to trust. It's like when I came came in contact when I read As a Man Thinketh, and James Allen is explaining how the mind works, and then Napoleon Hill is talking about the people who actually went into action and did these great things, and then I think when you start out on the journey, it's sometimes it's hard to believe that it's true. And that these faculties that you have, imagination, intuitive ability, and that these things actually work. And so you might get the message might come to you with this great idea, and then you take it in, like you say, and then you forget about it because you're not trained to write it down and to move on that idea, because it's coming from that higher source. And you ask for it. See, we don't remember that once upon a time we were saying, well, I want this and I want that and give me this. And we don't know the avenue that the resources are going to come through. And then when they come, sometimes we don't recognize
it. Exactly. Antar, do you journal? I'm assuming
yes.
You do.
Me
Constantly.
Too.
Constantly. Yeah. I have to tell you, I don't keep a paper journal because my hand can't keep up with my brain. I mean, I literally, if I try that, I can't read anything. I'm like, what was that? But I have a digital journal. It's on my computer. And you know, being a techie person, I'm very, very techie. And this thing, I mean, I can, you know, it's password protected, even though I live alone. There's a lot of stuff in there that if anybody stole my computer, I don't want them to have it. But I can do keyword searches. I can put videos in there. I can put ideas. I can go to, I had an idea the other day that I went, hang on a second, how long have I actually had this idea pop into my head? So I did a keyword search in my journal, and shame on me, 2006, son of a gun, and I still haven't acted on it, and it's still a viable idea. So it's a good place to keep your brain is in a journal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I write. I'm not into computers that much. I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
I just write. I mean, I have
whatever
tablets
works
everywhere.
Is what you have to do.
Yeah. And my wife is always getting on my case because I write on anything. I write on anything and everything. But the thing is, I have to write it down because I get I have so many ideas that I have to write them down. And I, just like you, I looked at my computer about a week ago, and there was a book that I wrote and completed it. It was the 23 Successful Habits of a Winning Entrepreneur. And I completed it, and I put it aside, and I didn't move on it. I didn't publish it. But I looked at it, and it was complete. And I documented it, and I have it put away.
Right.
But this is one of those things that you're doing so much. You're doing so much that a lot of times you have projects that you haven't even moved on. But they're great projects. But if you don't journal, if you don't write or put it in your computer, it'll evaporate.
That's exactly
and then you,
right.
You wake up one day. You wake up one day, and somebody else will be doing it.
Oh yeah. And that has happened to me and to other people. Now, I have those little black and white composition books that you buy at the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
I go into the dollar store, and I will buy 20 of those at a time. And I have them all over the house. And I have to go through the house at night. I have a book and a pen. There's one in the kitchen. There's one in each bathroom. There's one in my bedroom.
Yes.
They're everywhere. And each night, I go through, and I tear off the page that I scribbled something down on. And I may pick up 7 or 8 pages. And then I come in here, I put it in a Word document so I know to follow up with it. That's the only way I can keep track of myself.
It's an anchor. See, that's what people don't realize. You get in, your imagination goes to work and gives you a great idea. And then if you sit around and think about it, it's a great possibility it's going to evaporate. But if you write it down, it anchors. It anchors. You captured it.
It does. It very much does. And I'm guessing that this is something that you trained yourself to do when you copied word for word that book in prison.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it committed it to memory, and it taught you to, kind of really keep track of your mind, your thoughts.
Yeah, and I started to write. At that point, I started to write because I fell in love with those books, and I made a commitment that I was going to write a book like Thinking for Rich. And then subsequently, I wrote The Secret of the Infinite Intelligence.
And you never doubted yourself, did you?
No. Once I got in contact with myself, once I got in contact with my soul, I realized that what others had, I had too. That I was no different than
right.
other people.
And that is something so important for people to realize. I mean, we're individuals, clearly. We all have different thoughts, different skill sets, different mindsets. But, we all have access to higher intuition and, higher source, if you will. It's just a matter of saying, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. This is not working for me. I'm pretty sure this is not why I was put here on earth. What is my best and highest use? And once you start digging into that, those answers do come. For me, Antar, 3:18 in the morning, without fail. Doesn't matter what time I went to sleep, 3:18, my eyes pop open. I go, ooh, and there's the answer I was looking for. So I have a notepad next to my bed. And, I guarantee you I'm going to wake up between 3 and 3:18 every single morning. Because what I do when I go to bed, I turn... I ask my subconscious, if you will. If I have a sticky, I'm sorry, my cat is, my office assistant is losing his mind and he won't stop.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, he's not normally this loud. But what I do before I go to sleep when I'm saying my prayers and I'm just kind of reviewing my day, and I used to, go, oh man, I didn't get this done. Oh shoot. And I would do, oh no. Now I look for the things that I did get done and I, have a little good girl, Denise. Then I turn over my sticky problem, whatever it was I could not find an answer for, turn it over to my subconscious to review, and there it is. It always shows up.
That's the way it works. What's so amusing to me is that, you and I are talking about this. We understand what we're talking about. But the people who operate on a lower level of consciousness, they don't know and they don't understand, and they live their whole life living on this lower level of consciousness, not realizing that they have access to these faculties. And that's the same,
so,
you know.
It is, but, you know, I really do think that at some level they know it's there, they just don't recognize what it is. Because we all, no matter where we are in life, what we're doing, we all have flashes of absolute genius. We do, every single person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, it's whether you go, what was that and where did that come from? Now what do I do with it? I think curiosity is what can turn the tide for you.
Yeah, training. I think it's training because, like, that's what we talk about when we stay in the miracle. Because you can be in this consciousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But then, like I say, people have to get flashes. And I like to give the example sometimes when I'm doing a class where I tell a person, like, when you met your love, your true love, or you met your girlfriend or you met your boyfriend, and you actually saw that person and said, I want to be with that person. And then we change, we transform, and we go out on a date, and we put our best foot forward, and we dress for success, and we say all the right things, and we're focused. We're just completely 100% focused on that person and establishing that relationship. And 9 times out of 10, the relationship is established. And then, but I tell the people, if they took that same consciousness and applied it to everything they did, they would be in the zone. They would work miracles, you know.
Absolutely.
They have flashes of this genius, but they don't say, well, let me use it. I used it here and it worked. Let me use it over here and see if it works.
Well, I'm fascinated with the concept of training because this has always been kind of part and parcel who I am, so there's no huge surprises for me, even though I'm constantly exploring and trying to learn more and trying to elevate myself a bit more every day. But I'm fascinated by the concept of talking with people, and I know you do this, and then saying, listen, if you're not aware of it now, you can train yourself to do this. So if you would, do you mind sharing some of the things that you teach people, how they can actually train themselves to be more aware and to be more graceful and grateful?
Sure. It's like some simple things like purpose, you know, realizing your purpose. It was in scripture, there's a scene in scripture where Christ is talking to his disciples. They had the opportunity to heal this youth, and they weren't able to do it. And they came to him and asked him, why couldn't we do it? And he healed the youth. And then he came back and told them, because you have little faith. And if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could make that mountain move from here to there, and nothing would be impossible to you. And what I tell people is that it's the key to that whole scenario is the mustard seed. Not that it's so small, is that the mustard seed, if you plant it in the ground, it grows a mustard tree. It won't grow an apple tree. It won't grow an orange tree. It won't grow a lemon tree. It grows a mustard tree. It knows its purpose. And what Christ was telling them is that when you know your purpose, you'll be able to do miracles. But you don't know what your purpose is. And everybody has to find their unique purpose. Everybody has a purpose that they were put on earth to carry out, and nobody can carry it out but them. When they find that purpose,
then they're free. Now, do you get pushback from that? I agree with you. Do you get pushback from that, from people going, I don't know what in the heck you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They don't know their power. And that's what he was telling the disciples. You don't know your power.
Not a good word, power.
You
right.
You don't know your power. You think you're weak. You think you've been trained since childhood that you can't do things. You're weak and you got to get a job and you got to go work for so and so, and you can't really own the company and you can't really be the boss. The subtle hints in the society that creates this employee mentality, and so people don't know their power. But when they're trained to realize, like if they realize that, look, when you die, I'm going to take your body and I'm going to put you in a casket and put you in the ground. But if you, that has a lot to do with person being a believer. If they understand science, energy, the energy that you are does not die. It just transforms. So really, you are immortal. You're invincible. You continue. And you're more than what you believe you are. And then that's what they have to be trained to understand. What is that more? What am I? Who am I?
Exactly. So how do you help people with this? I mean, I come across people that just, and look, I have nothing against having a job. I'm unemployable, and I've made myself that way deliberately because I own my own business, and honestly, nobody could afford me at this point as a genuine office employee. But there are people who are absolutely suited to be workers and employees, and then there are other people like me who really are not. But my point for saying that is that you can still be absolutely brilliant and find your genius even if you're working in the counter of a dry cleaner. That job does not really tell you who you are. It's who you are inside that informs how you do your job, right?
That's right. I think it's a balance. I always suggest to my clients, if they have a job, and many people have jobs that they love, they're teachers, school teachers, they love it. They don't want to do anything else but teach these children. And I tell them to stay in that position. You're happy. That's what it's about. You're happy. But open up a business. Open up a business. Because then I try to guide them into their passion. If your passion is to help children, then children need games. They need hobbies. They need toys. They need they have so many needs, and supply those needs and set up your own business. And it's not going to be a business that's going to be difficult for you because it's right in line with your passion.
Right, and something that you already know something about.
Yeah,
I mean,
so you're an entrepreneur,
a lot of hobbyists,
and you don't quit your day job.
I mean, a lot of hobbyists will, you know, all of a sudden go, this could be a great business. I mean, crochet patterns. I couldn't crochet if you held a, you know, hammer over my head, but a lot of people absolutely love it, and I love the work that's produced. I mean, some of it's just truly art. But I've seen some crochet hobbyists, make a lot of money by taking their, you know, their joy, their, you know, their hobby, if you will, and turn it into a business.
That's right. That's what you have to do. Because I tell people that, what would you do 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for free? Now, if you're trying to find your passion.
Good question.
What would you do 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for nothing? Whatever that is, you should be getting paid for it.
Okay, so when you're talking with clients, I mean, let's kind of help the audience out a bit here. Well, you know, let's just kind of assume that we've got somebody on in this chat room or who will be downloading this later going, you know, it all sounds great. It's all very lofty, but where do I start?
You start right there. You start with that answering that question. What would you do 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for free? What is it that you love so much that you would just do that 7 days a week for nothing? When you find out what that is, then you turn that into your livelihood. There was a true story. There was a doctor at Stanford University that his grandfather was a doctor and his father was a doctor, and he became a doctor and a good doctor too, a specialist. And when you went in his office, he had boats in his office. His hobby and his love was designing and building boats. And he got to a point where he resigned from being a doctor and moved to Florida and started to manufacture this boat that he had designed. And he became a very wealthy, happy man. That was his passion.
You know, right. It used to be, and not all that long ago, I mean, you mentioned the 60s, but, you know, the 50s, the 60s, it was pretty much if you had a job, let's say the railroad or the packing company or whatever it was, you got the job, you got it out of high school if you were lucky, and you stayed there until you got the gold watch and retired. Life is not like that much anymore, is it? I mean, you have so many opportunities. I mean, you don't, even though you went to school to become a doctor, that doesn't mean you have to be a doctor until the day you die. I mean, there are so many other opportunities and passions available to all of us.
That's right. Yeah, the one thing I think that people need to realize, that next step, once you find your purpose, when I talk to people about imagination, imagination is projective and receptive, okay? And most of the people are trained to use their receptive imagination, but some people, all they use is their projective imagination. This Hollywood. These are the people who are creating products. These are the people who are innovators and inventors. And they are projecting things onto the screens of other people's minds. The consumer, he wants to go to the movie and let Steven Spielberg make dinosaurs real for me for 2 hours. And so I'll turn on my receptive imagination, and dinosaurs are real for 2 hours. I give him $12, and then I leave and I go back to my normal life. And Steven Spielberg is making a whole lot of money because he understands how to project his ideas onto our minds. And so what people have to realize is they have a projective imagination that they used to use when they were children. When we were children, we could play house, we could play doctor, we could play cowboys and Indians, we could do all that stuff. And our friends could come over and they ask you, what are you playing? And then you tell them what you're playing, and their mind and imagination gets involved in it, and now you got a collective imagination going on. And there we're all playing out there, and we're playing for hours and hours and hours in our imagination. Then the adults tell us, grow up. Stop playing around, and we stop doing it, and we leave that imagination behind. And then the ones that don't stop, the ones that stay children, the one in their mind, in their imagination, are the ones that go out and become creative geniuses and go out and create technology and create games and for other people that want to receive movies for other people who want to receive. So the key is to always keep your vivid childlike imagination going powerful.
And I have to say, it does. And if you got away from that, I did. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't know I was a creative until fairly later on in life. You know, I have always been very good at anything I set my mind to. But if you were to tell me that I would be building websites practically in my sleep, I would have called you a liar on the village square. I was like, no. But somehow I got back to that, very raspy today. I got back to that sense of kind of childhood wonder and the daydreaming and the creativity that goes on in my mind. And now I own it. I am absolutely a creative, but I didn't know that from, let's say adolescence on until I was probably in my late 30s. And then I was like, well, what the heck?
Yeah.
Where did it go? But I found it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's beautiful that you find it, because it's really what we choose to be. Let me read something to you. This is a passage that I put in at the end of my book, and this comes from that movie Kung Fu Panda 2. And this is just some dialogue for the movie, and the fortune teller said this to the dragon warrior: "Your story may not have such a happy beginning, but that doesn't make you who you are. It's the rest of the story and who you choose to be." Then she said, "Who are you?" She asked the question. Okay. In the final battle, when the dragon warrior defeats Chan, his mortal enemy, Chan asked him, "How did you do it? How did you find peace? I took away your parents, everything. I scarred you for life." The dragon warrior replied, "You've got to let go of that stuff from the past. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what you choose to be now." That's the key.
Yeah, right, and you're preaching to the choir. I live very much in the moment because, let's face it, logically, the past, even 10 minutes ago, is gone. It's gone.
Yes.
I mean, I look to the past for lessons. I every once in a while will go, a little bit down memory lane, but I don't stay there because most of the time it is not serving me here and now and in the next 10 minutes and in the next hour. We've only got what we are right now. So
yes.
Be the best of
you
what you
choose.
Are and who you can be at this moment. The past is
yes.
past. I mean, we see all these cute little memes all over social media. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Objects look smaller. Yeah, I mean, but they're a good reminder that right now, this moment, you and I are talking, this is what we have at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
And this is it.
Enjoy it and then move on. But a lot of people, and look, I was guilty, so I'm not casting stones at anyone, but I spent way too much time in the past at one point, and I just finally, I kind of shook myself like a wet dog and went, what the heck are you thinking? How is this serving you? And the answer was, it's not. So I stopped. I literally stopped on a dime.
That's good. That's good, because you realize that it's who you choose to be right now.
Right, right. And listen, I mean, you talk about training, and it does require training. Every now and then I'll still catch myself going, oh, and honestly, I'll have to do this invisible rubber band trick. It's like I pretend that I have a rubber band on my wrist and I snap it and go, ouch, okay. But truly, I actually have a better way of doing that now. There's a gal named Mel Robbins. And she, at this point, is the most booked female speaker in the United States. And she has this fabulous book out called The 5-Second Rule. And honestly, when I catch my mind just kind of going down a path that really does me no good, I take her advice and it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, because I'm now training my brain to stop mm-hmm. going down that path, and then go. And I'm right back in the present moment. So anybody who's listening, I really recommend, you know, listening to that book, because she's kind of talking about what you and I are talking about. It's not off the beaten path at all.
Mm-hmm. 5-second rule. I wrote that down. I'm going to get that. Yeah.
If you have Audible, I'm listening. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have it on Audible, and I listen to it all the time. I'll be working, and I'm one of those people I can compartmentalize, so I can listen with my left ear and work with my right ear,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense.
Right, right.
And
yes,
I've listened to that book dozens of times, and I'll still go, hey, and my head will snap around and go, oh, I didn't hear that the last, but I hear it when I need it.
Yeah, exercise. One thing, my book, The Secret of the Infinite Intelligence, second edition, what I have in the book, I have mental technology in the book, but what is formulas and technology, mental technology, that you can use to exercise. See, what people don't realize is that they go out and they run 2 miles in the morning, or they go in the gym and they lift weights because your muscles need exercise. The same
right.
thing for our faculties, imagination, intuitive ability. You need to exercise it to strengthen it. Because it's the power of the intellect, the persistence of the intellect that brings about the sixth sense. When the scientists, like everybody's heard about Edison, did 1,000 experiments to get the light bulb. That's persistence
right.
of the intellect. Other scientists quit after 50, other after 100, other 500. The persistence of the intellect is the one that comes up with the idea. Never letting it go, staying with it. And it takes training in the area of persistence to get this, where you don't let the idea go. You take the idea to its logical conclusion. And these are the people that are successful, that have the patience and the persistence to do that. And it takes training. It takes training. It takes endurance of the intellect.
It does. And an awareness that you need to train your mind and train your thoughts. And I mean, honestly, you can take yourself right down a rabbit hole with no trouble at all if you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you really need to be aware of where your thoughts are leading you.
Yeah, and when you understand your power, it's like when you say rabbit hole, it reminds me of The Matrix. When Morpheus was looking for Neo, and they say, oh, well, he was looking for him because he was the one. You know, he was the prophetic one. No, he wasn't looking for him for that reason. He was a hacker that the police was looking for. And he knew that if I take him out of the Matrix and into the real world and train him and put him back in the Matrix, he'll be able to conquer. He'll be able to manipulate the matrix. And it's the same thing with us. We have a real world, which is internal, and then the outer world is an illusionary world. It's a matrix, and we can actually manipulate this outer world with our ideas, with our imagination, with our intuitive ability. But we have to be trained to do it. So everybody needs a coach. Michael Jordan had a coach. I mean, Muhammad Ali had a coach. Everybody has a coach until they get to a certain point where they know what they're doing.
I agree. Yeah, well, and you said something. Well, I always have a business coach. And I have mentors, and I mentor other people. And I think that's something that's very, very important. Napoleon Hill, you know, had his imaginary, I think he called them his board of directors, that, you know, he would speak with them every night. Right, the mastermind group. Yeah, look, I was very guilty. I'm an introvert. I'm a high-functioning, highly committed introvert. I really try to avoid being around people if I can, which is why I work alone. But that can damage you. And I found that out the hard way, too, because the first several years that I was in business, you know, I did everything on my own. I'm a techie person. I can do it all on my own. I was exhausted. And at the time when I started, in 2001, the internet was still kind of getting out there. People were more aware of it. You know, we didn't have graphical user interfaces, so websites weren't interactive. They weren't beautiful. They were actually clunky and really didn't do much, but I didn't care. I knew that I was going to make a living with my computer somehow, somewhere. But my point for telling you all this is that I wasn't able to connect with anyone. Very isolated. Mm-hmm. The work I do, my family didn't understand it. My friends didn't understand it. Yeah, it just, and I was very, very isolated. And because I'm an introvert, I didn't notice it. And then all of a sudden I went, well, crud, I've got nobody to bounce ideas off of. I've got nobody to, you know, kind of validate ideas. I've got nobody that I can counsel with and go, hey, that's brilliant. How about we do this and do that? And I mean, once you have those connections, mentor, mastermind, or coach, everything changes. Trust me.
Yes,
everything changes.
It's confirmation for me. What I found out is that once I got in touch with the GPS, the intuitive ability, higher consciousness, or whatever you want to call it, you start to know things, and then you need others to bounce these ideas off of, because they give you, they might not tell you anything more than what you already know, but they confirm it with their information. It's confirmation. They give you confirmation. And that's what coaches do. They, once they find out what your purpose is and they find out what you're trying to do, they give you additional information. They give you confirmation because you're already on the path. You're already on going down that road, but you just need to know that you're on the right road. So
well,
I need to confirm for you.
Exactly. I've got two business partners, and we meet every 2 weeks on a conference call. And we have to, because we call ourselves a girl power tribe. I didn't name that, one of my partners did, and I was like, well, yeah, we're a girl power tribe. The thing, and we record these calls because it's really us just jumping in and doing a deep dive into whatever it is, whatever project we've got going on individually or collectively. I'm telling you, when I listen to these recordings, I am genuinely excited about how brilliant we are in the collective. I mean, we are on fire when we get on those calls because we feed off of each other. We take each other's ideas and, like you say, validate them. And then all of a sudden that collective mind kind of goes, ooh, 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 and what about this? They're brilliant.
Yeah,
calls.
That's powerful. That is powerful. That's
so we record them, transcribe them, and we keep them so we know what we talked about.
Yeah, that collective mind. The collective mind. And that's so unique. When that's why when you go to the boardroom and you see the big table and everybody sitting around the table, it's all of those minds that are working together that are building that company.
Exactly. So when you're talking with people, when people come to you and they say, Antar, you know, I know I've got something better in me. I don't even know what to do. I mean, you've counseled me to say, okay, start a side business and do that, but how do I get in touch with my higher self? You know, what kind of exercises can I do?
Well, there's, first of all, there's, whether you're religious or not, you have to read scripture. All of the scriptures, I don't care what religion it is, all of the scriptures are saying the same thing. The creator is asking you to rely on what he has created. Now, it might be confusing for some, but I guide my clients to understand what he's saying. The kingdom of heaven is inside you. So you don't look outside at Saturn or Mars or up in the clouds. It's inside you. What is he talking about? he's talking about the consciousness. It says, this is a verse in Scripture that says, the mind that is in Christ should also be in you. The same, Christ is a mentality, it's a consciousness, and it's in you. That's why the Christ, he said, the works I do, those who believe in me, the works I do, you will do also, and even greater works will you do. Now, that's a powerful statement. He said, you're going to do greater works than me. Well, what are you going to use to do those greater works? Your consciousness, that same consciousness he had. And so that it's internal. Once a person starts to, you know the old saying, follow your conscience, let your conscience be your guide.
Right.
Once a person starts to trust their conscience and then their higher conscience, and don't doubt it, don't argue with it, don't debate it, trust it and do what it tells you to do. Because why? At first you're schizoid because you think it's somebody else. But it's
right.
You. That voice is you. That's the real you. The other voice that we walk around with every day is the voice that we've been given from our parents, by our bosses, by our school teachers, by television, by radio. That voice, faulty. It's going to get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. Listen to your conscience.
Oh, I agree. You know how I've learned? I actually have a little trick that I do to separate what voice I'm hearing. And yes, we all hear voices. We all talk to ourselves. With me, my
right,
intuition comes in the form of ideas. I'm not hearing actual words. But I'll get an idea, and I'm telling you, Antar, I will stop on a dime, and I will go act on it. Because if I don't, it's gone. And I know that it was a gift,
right.
So I act on it. And I'm telling you, that's how you get successful. But here's my trick. When an idea comes to me, or I'm hearing my own voice speaking to me in my head, if I'm hearing, okay, Denise, we have to go do this, that's intuition. If I'm hearing, I must go do this, that's my ego, and I ignore that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I always separate it out.
Yeah.
How am I speaking
to
myself? Is it I or is it we? If it's we, I'm all in. If it's I, it's like, Denise, take a break. Go eat a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good that you have that skill, you know, and then you that now you know what you do and what you're not going to do, and that's just beautiful. It's like I had the Secret of the Infinite Intelligence is a story, and I have my lead character in the story is Dr. Shepherd, and then after this book, there's 10 books up on Amazon called Dr. Shepherd's Universe. It's a sci-fi, and when I wrote that sci-fi, I didn't even know I could write that kind of literature. But there's characters. There's many characters in the story, and they all have dialogue. They all have personalities. And I'm writing all of these personalities and all this dialogue. And I started wondering, where are these people coming from? You know, these people are coming from me. They're coming from my imagination. I'm the script writer. I'm the movie producer. I'm putting all this together. And your mind can play tricks on you. It can be this. It can be that. It can be everything. And in a situation like that, it can be really confusing. But like you said, if you know that voice, your voice,
mm-hmm.
then you're clear. You're clear. You can have all these other voices. You can have all these other characters, and it's okay. But you have to know your voice.
I have to know what's ego, and I have to know what's intuition.
That's right.
No question about it. And once I was able to discern, you know, okay, and I call them shower moments, always in the shower or the bath. What's that all about? I get wet and I go, great idea. Where's my pen? But that's just the way it is. But I figured this out one day in the shower. You know, I was hearing, you know, I'm always thinking. My brain, honestly, sometimes I check my ears to see if smoke's coming out. I have a squirrel brain. It never stops. But it occurred to me, don't know why, that I was saying I, and they were really almost never really great ideas or even actionable ideas. But when I would hear, okay, Denise, we need to go to, gotcha, okay, now I'm paying attention. Then I went from there to realizing that I didn't even need to hear the voice anymore. The ideas will just pop into my head, and I will look to the sky, and I kid you not, I will look up, say thank you, I'm on it, and I go do it, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
it's always brilliant, always.
Yeah,
100%
that's
of the time.
That's amazing.
But you have to be aware.
Yes, You have to be able, there's two. See, we have physical ears and physical mouth, but when we go inside, we're not hearing with those ears, and we're not talking with that mouth.
No.
But the voice,
no.
But the voice is there, and we're hearing. These are internal faculties, because that's the real us. That's the real person. It's the soul. It's that that force.
There you go. Yeah,
that
soul, spirit,
us.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
That's us.
So,
that's the real us.
Exactly. I mean, our bodies are, you know, we change, we grow, we get fat, we get skinny, we lose our hair, you know, things happen to our bodies. But if you're true to your soul and you're really paying attention, I look at my soul as a really nifty playground. I have the best time. I really, and maybe that's why I'm such
yes.
an introvert. I don't need a whole lot of company. I've got great company in my own head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. And that, I think that, and back to entrepreneurship, I think when you start to understand your mind and how their mind works, and like you say, that playground and how much you can do, then what I call a cosmic entrepreneurship, you know, like I say, I'm the cosmic entrepreneur.
That.
It's time for us to invent new technology. It's time for us to come up with new ideas and new innovations,
mm-hmm.
not just normal entrepreneurship, but something that's going to change the world. And everybody has that ability
right.
to do that.
I agree with you. And listen, this day and age, you know, with the advent of the, you know, internet, we have so many free things available to us. I mean, you can find great podcasts. You can find great stuff on YouTube to listen to. Carolyn Mays has some great videos on YouTube. Carolyn, M-Y-S-S, but she pronounces it Mays. Fantastic stuff from her. You can buy, you know, you can get free downloads of books. You can, you know, listen to us and then go, okay, how do I get in touch with Antar? How do I get in touch with Denise? How do I get in touch with Carolyn? There are resources everywhere you look. So it's not a, you know, you don't have to just kind of sit and wait for somebody to deliver it to your door. Get out and go find resources, find mentors, find coaches, find information.
Yes, search. Seek and you will find.
Exactly. So when you're mentoring people, when do you kind of see that big aha moment? I call it that big giant Edison light bulb over the head moment. We've all seen those big giant bulbs. We
mm-hmm.
all have them, but when you're mentoring somebody or coaching someone, that has got to be really rewarding to understand that they just had that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's constant, really. It's just like this conversation, where it's never ending. The light bulb is going off all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Going off all
yeah,
the
I
time.
Have a permanent light bulb over my head.
Yeah, it's going off all the time. And when we're focused on one another, because the mentee and the mentor, we're connected. Like you say, it's collective mentality. And we're focusing and we're going down the same road and we're just bouncing. It's really my life experiences, the things that I've read, the things that I've intuitively learned. I share all of that with my client. I'm not holding back anything because I learned a long time ago that if I hold back something, then the universe holds back from me. If I give everything, then I get more.
Yeah, I agree.
I get more. And so it's a constant giving.
It is. You're not going to get an argument from me. So let's go back to the kind of top of the hour. I mean, we've told the audience that you had, you know, pretty rough times. You wound up in prison, and you never went back. And I would like for you to tell our audience, because recidivism is a huge problem in the United States, most countries. I mean, once you're there, there's a very strong possibility that you'll go back. But you made
yes.
the determination that was not who you were and that was not your life and it wasn't going to happen. Can you tell the audience a bit more about that, how you just said, nope, ain't happening, hon, not going back?
Well, once I learned about success, once I learned that it was very, very possible for me to be successful, that it was inevitable that I'd be successful, I knew I was not going to come back to prison if it meant that I was going to become homeless. I was committed if I was going to become homeless, it was okay. I was not going to do anything that was going to bring me back to prison because I can't do anything in prison. I couldn't be an entrepreneur in prison. I couldn't be free. So I was going to stay free because I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt after reading As a Man Thinketh and Thinking Go Rich that I was going to be successful because I knew it was about my choices. If I chose to be successful, if I visualize success, and if I, like the Holding Hill said, if anything the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. So I conceived it, I believed it, and I knew I was going to achieve it. So it was a train. It was my training that kept me out of prison. That I realized that what I thought in my adolescent age, that crime would be, I would be able to be like the Untouchables on TV. I would be able to be like Al Capone or something like that. That no, that is a trick. You're not going to be successful. You're going to die or you're going to go to jail. And so those were no longer my, but it was no longer my destiny. My destiny was to be successful, to be intelligent, to be what I considered normal. At first I wanted to be a nationalistic. I was a nationalist. No, it wasn't nationalism. It was normalism. I wanted to be normal. And it was normal now to see big business. It was normal now to see my name on products. It was normal now to see myself as successful as anybody else on the planet. And once I started to think like that, everything started to fall into place.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Rehabilitation. Okay. Rehabilitation was became normal.
Right. And congratulations. I mean, I love your story. I think you have an amazing story, and I'm so glad you're sharing it. I have to ask, boy, we are just about out of time. This is the quickest hour on the internet, I'm telling you. success, I told you it would be. Success rituals. I find that people who are successful and who are moving forward every day have some pretty strong success rituals that they do every day, whether it's the morning or at night or multiple times a day. Do you have any that you would like to share?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Simple things like get up in the morning and drink water.
I do the same thing. First thing before I get out of bed.
And then exercise your body. Lift weights. Run, ride a bicycle, do something to strengthen your body, because when you strengthen your body, you strengthen your mind. And then read. Take time to read and meditate and pray or whatever you do. You know, so when I get up in the morning, I do those things. I make sure that I get plenty of water so my brain has plenty of water to distribute to all my body. I exercise. I love to exercise. And that creates chemicals in your body. And then I have things that I read. I'm always reading. I'm reading something. And even if it's just my book, because I'm still trying to get used to what I wrote, I read my book. But I'm always reading something and learning, like you say, looking at YouTube videos or listening to something. And that starts my day. That starts my day. And if I do that every day, you know, and the mentality is the same. I always know that I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a positive day, and I'm going to have a productive day. And then it happens. I choose to do that.
Right, and that's important. You choose to do that. I do something very similar like you. I'm reading. I have found that people who are leaders, and what's that phrase? Leaders read. We all read.
Yes.
We read a leaders ton. I mean, seriously, I may have 5 or 6 books going at any given time. I have, you know, physical books in the rooms. I have iPhone. I have 2 iPads. I mean, it's not at all uncommon for me to be reading, you know, not all at once, obviously, but from room to room, 6 or 7 books.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I could. The thought of not reading just makes me hurt. Okay, well, Antar, thank you. Where can people find you on the web?
You can find me at antarthenavigator.com or
stayinthemiracleinstitute.com. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Navigator?
Say it again.
Oh, yeah. Antar the Navigator and stayinthemiracleinstitute.com. The Navigator came from my gift. I help people navigate, help people find direction. And
makes sense.
That's what most people need. They just need be pointed in the right direction.
There you go. Well, Antar, thank you so much for being my guest. And as a case,
thank you.
This podcast, it's been a pleasure. This hour went much too fast, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you shared with our audience. And
yeah,
I hope
I
people will
it.
Visit
you
on the web. Oh, again, my pleasure. So today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. Having a strong online presence is a crucial component of marketing your business. Excuse me. And as the world continues to evolve, it is important that you evolve with it, and we can help you. Just visit yourofficeontheweb.com or call me at 888-719-6711 for your free business consultation. Here we go. Well, Antar, have a great weekend, and thank you again.
And you do the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Denise. I really enjoyed this conversation.
You can find it at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.